New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Always the biggest and best in sports at Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show. It is time now to hit the gridiron. So it is a pleasure to welcome back to our show Paul Gutierrez with ESPN. He covers the 49ers and also recently released his new book, 100 Things Raider Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Of course, Paul is joining us on our celebrity guest line, Stuart Cadillac, Real People, Real Value, Real Simple, and by SCORE Athletes Network. There's no off-season at SCORE. Good evening on this Friday night. How are you, Paul?
Doing well. How are you doing?
All right. Well, I'm fine. Are you staying dry out there?
Yeah, this storm is pounding the San Francisco Bay Area pretty well. So it's different for the Bay Area. There's been a drought in California, but getting it all in one shot is probably not a good thing either.
And a bit overwhelming, I'm sure. Well, let's get right to it. The 49ers, they've lost two in a row, and their stock just continues to plummet with this dysfunction that's going on. They have a 7-6 record so far, and there obviously has been a ton of speculation in regards to Jim Harbaugh's future in San Francisco. Do you believe that he will be the head coach beyond this season?
I have a hard time believing that he's actually going to stick around. I think the die was cast even before this season began, when so many rumors and stories were planted and everything was leaked that he had lost the locker room. And when you kind of do a little bit of investigative work to find out where that was coming from, well, it's a leap, but it's a huge leap, but it's a logical leap that it was coming from within the organization, which kind of set up the current situation that we have, that the opposing forces are too strong, that the personalities clash too much, that Jim Harbaugh, wherever he goes, he does a great job at his job for a couple of years, but then it kind of, the bridge burns out. So, yeah, I have a hard time believing that he's going to come back. And even if they somehow went on a nice little run here and got in the playoffs and went to the Super Bowl, I'm not sure that would even save him. I think that the 49ers are looking in a different direction at this point, and it shocks a lot of people because of the amount of success that he had early in his career.
Oh, I agree. You know, you're looking at this potential departure, one foot perhaps already out the door. But, you know, with the loss against the Raiders, what is not working for the 49ers?
Well, I think the better question, or the easier question, would be to say, what is working for them?
Okay, all right, I stand corrected.
Okay. Put it this
yes,
way.
Sir.
You know, when you talk about the two teams in the Bay Area, and he has been linked to the Raiders potentially, and he did start coaching there. Well, before the game on Sunday, Jim Harbaugh made a point to make a beeline right to Mark Davis to go pay his respects, say hello. And, you know, and you should do that anyways, especially if that's where you cut your coaching teeth in the NFL, was with the Raiders.
Right.
But Mark Davis told another reporter that how their conversation went. He said, well, I told Jim, what happened? You stole all the dysfunction from us. That used to be our thing. So that's what's going on with the 49ers. There's a lot of dysfunction. There's a lot of the offense has not worked at all. Injuries have really decimated the defense, which, to its credit, is still playing fairly well, but it's not the dominating game-changing type of unit that it has been in years past. Guys have gotten older. Vernon Davis is no longer the threat that he was at tight end. Frank Gore is no longer used. And Colin Kaepernick really has regressed a lot, and you look at the reasons why there, and many would say that, well, he's not being used to the best of his abilities. He's not being put in the proper positions to take advantage of his unique skill set. They've tried to make him into a pure pocket passer. That's not in his DNA. That's not to say that he can never become that, but it seems like they went all in this year after signing him to that big contract extension, and they don't want to have him running around and getting killed out there because of the investment they've made into him. And yet it seems like it's kind of hindered his progress at the same time. So there's a lot of issues on both sides of the ball. Mostly, though, it's the offense that just cannot sustain drives. And here we are. We already are into the 14th game of the season, and Colin Kaepernick is still the only quarterback in the NFL who qualifies anyway, who has yet to lead his team on a fourth-quarter touchdown drive.
ESPN national reporter, covers the 49ers, is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Paul Gutierrez, you're talking about Kaepernick, his lack of pocket presence, his inaccuracy, why he has not been productive. So talk to me, Paul. I mean, what is the future for Colin?
You know, and it's interesting because it's tied. His present and his past are so tied, intrinsically tied to Jim Harbaugh. If and when Jim Harbaugh goes, that's the biggest question. What happens to Colin Kaepernick with the 49ers? Because whoever that next coach is going to come in, and you take this negatively, you take it positively, you take it with a grain of salt. They're going to be saddled with Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback. And that next coach is going to have to figure out how to use him. Now, he did sign that big contract extension, but it's very team-friendly. So if the team wanted to move on in a different direction, I'm not advising they do that right now, but if they did, it would be with a relatively minor salary cap hit to just cut him and move on. But I don't see that happening either. So the future for Colin Kaepernick, I think, is really tied to Jim Harbaugh and whether or not he comes back to this team.
But, Paul, the thing that is that the offensive line, they're not providing protection, and that's really hurt Kaepernick's ability to operate.
Absolutely. And he's been sacked the most times in the league, and that's where you start looking at things. You go, wait a minute, if this and that, you know, this is arguably one of the most mobile. He's definitely one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the NFL, but that's his unique skill set, is that he's supposed to be able to get out of certain situations. You're right. The offensive line has been in flux all year long. Injuries up and down that thing. They're on a new center again, and they could potentially be using a third center this coming weekend at Seattle. So there's a lot of issues with that offensive line, and yet Colin Kaepernick's skill set is supposed to be able to get him out of harm's way. Now, he's not Superman. I think Cam Newton, you know, basically says that he is. But, you know, that's where you kind of scratch your head and go, wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. The offensive line isn't doing his job, but that's supposed to be negated a little bit by Colin Kaepernick's ability to run. But he's not running like he has in the past either.
ESPN's NFL reporter Paul Gutierrez joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He also had just released a book not too long ago, 100 Things Raider Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. I want to give a plug for that, but give us an update on the Raiders. They're 2-7, and however, they have won two of their last three games, and that was against 7-win teams. So obviously the players are stepping up. They are responding to the challenge.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about that, and thanks for mentioning the book, is I didn't know that I was probably going to have to do a rewrite on it and make 101 things would be
okay.
As the new head coach.
Right.
I joke, kind of, because he's been linked so much to it. But, yeah, and you know, what's interesting is I actually was not only, obviously, at the game where they beat the 49ers, but when they beat the Chiefs, was a Thursday night game, so I went to help out as well. So I was at that game, too. So I've been in the house both times that the Raiders have won this year, and I've been impressed with the way they play because, you know, I did cover them through the preseason and two games into the exhibition season. I was still on the Raider beat, and I thought they'd be much improved. I didn't think that they'd be a playoff team, but to start off 0-10, I didn't see that coming either. So the two times I've seen them play live, they've looked nice. You know, they have a good cornerstone on the defensive side with the top draft pick, Khalil Mack. Derek Carr looks like a solid making
yes.
quarterback going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things there that are interesting for whoever their next head coach is going to be as well.
It's always a pleasure. And Paul, we look forward to talking to you in the new year, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close. Yes, the Big E Sports Show rolls on at Yahoo Sports Radio as we are inside the Quicken Loans Studios on this Friday night. It is time now to focus our attention on the Big Ten Conference as Ohio State leaps the Texas schools for the last spot and will face Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. It is always a pleasure to welcome back Tom Pippins, the sports director from Fox 6 in Milwaukee. He is joining us on our celebrity guest line driven by Stuart Cadillac. Real people, real value, real simple, and by Score, our newest sponsor, the Score Athletes Network. There's no off-season at Score at score.com. Well, good evening, Tom. It's nice to have you with us.
Big E, it's an early Christmas present for me to be with you, as always, and your wonderful listeners.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. But listen, as we look ahead to the matchup, and we're going to talk some Bucks and hopefully a little bit of Packers, too, but talk to me about, because you were at the game last week with Ohio State and Wisconsin. I mean, who could have projected that the Buckeyes' number three quarterback looked as good as Braxton Miller and JT Barrett?
Yeah, it's amazing. Urban Meyer, as you know, such a great coach and an incredible recruiter. And though the Badgers obviously played a poor game, and I knew they needed to play their best game to win, it seemed to me in watching that game at Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium, Big E, that the caliber of athlete overall on offense and on defense was just a cut above what we're used to seeing in the Big Ten. It's Urban Meyer and company and everybody else. They've won 24 straight regular season Big Ten games. Michigan State got them last year at Lucas Oil Stadium in the Big Ten Championship. and they were so motivated. They went through the tragedy of losing a player.
Right,
and,
right.
And they used that certainly to their advantage. They were motivated. They were inspired. The Badgers were out-coached, out-executed, you name it. And they had a running back there who looked a heck of a lot better than Melvin Gordon. He looked like Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
And from there on, as you say, the big kid, Cardell, I think they've got about 18 Heisman Trophy contenders if they throw him there under center, Biggie. He just threw that ball up, and Devin Smith went and got it. And our rather short DBs had no chance. So what it was most impressed upon me is that the caliber of athlete at Ohio State, as long as Urban Meyer is going to be there, they should rule the Big Ten unless somebody can start to compete and get some of those quicker, stronger, bigger athletes. They won the game in the trenches. It was just laughable. Men against boys. I couldn't believe it. And they may do something with Alabama. Very interesting semifinal for this first playoff.
Well, I have to. You're talking about the caliber of athletes at Ohio State. You just have to wonder, what does the fourth string quarterback look like, Tom?
Probably step in and at least be all conference, you know. Once again, they're just, I mean, if you think about it, they had two quarterbacks who were Heisman Trophy candidates. Braxton Miller goes down. Here comes JT Barrett. He was a contender. He certainly was in the mix before he fractured his ankle in the last regular season game, probably among the top, 8, 10 players. And they just totally cut down Melvin Gordon. Now, the Badger center, Dan Volz, went out. They had to do a little shifting on the O-line. But I don't know how much difference it was going to make. And Melvin tried too hard at the end of the first half. He lost the ball. That's the one negative for this wonderful, wonderful running back who has declared, as you probably know, to go into the NFL
right.
As a redshirt junior. And he, you know, they took the ball. Joey Bosa, the all-conference defensive lineman, scored 38-0 at half. It was over, Biggie. It was over as soon as they kicked off. They deferred. Ohio State went down the field, and it was Katie barred the door after that. So very disappointing. Still a 10-win season going to the Outback Bowl. But then, if we thought we were surprised there, the stunning news, all of a sudden,
Gary Anderson
yeah. leaving to go to the Oregon State Beavers. So for the second time, make it the third time in 2 years, Barry Alvarez has to get a new coach, because you'll recall that Brett Bielema bolted right before the 2013 Rose Bowl
Correct.
For Arkansas.
Yes. Hey, Tom Pippins from Fox 6 out of Milwaukee is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big Esports Show, and we will certainly watch and see how that whole situation unfolds in terms of the coaching vacancy at Wisconsin. But I got to ask you this, I mean, because you were at that game with Cardale Jones. Have you ever seen a player embrace a big moment like that? Because he did something that his predecessors could not. I mean, leading the Buckeyes to the Big Ten title. I mean, I was nervous for him going into that game.
Well, he's a big, strong kid. He can run. He made good decisions. Biggie, he had enough time back there to down a sandwich and, you know, a beverage. There was no pressure whatsoever. Again, the Buckeyes won in the trenches. But he threw a terrific ball. He made good decisions. And here's a young man who was not recruited by Urban Meyer. Now, he was one of those he famously quoted, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know, we're not here to play school.
Oh, I know, yes.
We're here to play football.
Jeez.
Well, that was a bad decision by a young kid who apparently has grown enough where he really is pretty solid academically, according to reports. And you have to be happy for him. He waited in the wings. He got his opportunity. You feel badly for JT Barrett. But as you're well aware, that's what happens in sports. Sometimes in life, you know, one door is closed, another one opens up for this young fella. So you've got to give him the nod, and it will be very interesting to see, again, how they do against Nick Saban's number one ranked team.
Well, Cardale Jones certainly was living a dream. Threw for 257 yards, 3 touchdowns, and named the game MVP in his first collegiate start. I mean, that is just absolutely, I mean, you talk about being anointed. I mean, he certainly was.
That's Ohio State, Big E. You know, once again, the caliber of athlete. Not everybody likes Urban Meyer, but he can flat-out coach, and he finds a way to recruit people.
Well, I think that was certainly overlooked with all the controversy with the Final Four. I mean, people weren't given, perhaps, Cardell, even enough credit for him stepping in.
Yeah, I think there was concern that once they lost Barrett, even if they won, they say, okay, well, you don't have your main man. Well, this kid came in there and played like a grown man and certainly showed that the team can be as competitive as anyone. And given the manner in which they beat a pretty solid Wisconsin team, I think you almost had to say, and without, you know, the championship game of the conference, unfortunately, the TCUs and the Baylors lost out. Is people say, well, how about go to 8? Well, they can go to 16, to 32. As you're aware, you can't do that in football. It's different than basketball. It's too rough a game to play all those games and that big a field. But it'll be fun. I think this Final Four business will be very interesting, and I think the committee got it right. I really do.
Who would you like to see take that spot, that coaching vacancy at Wisconsin?
Well, there are a number of names being tossed out, even Darrell Bevell, who led the Badgers as a quarterback to the 1994 Rose Bowl championship, their first in some three decades.
Okay.
Or so. Doing very, very well with the Seattle Seahawks as the offensive coordinator. But one name that comes up is Paul Christ. He was the former offensive coordinator for the Badgers, Wisconsin native, played there, doing pretty well now as the Pittsburgh coach. And his name, he was just starting that job when Brett Bielema left last time. And I like Gary Anderson, but I don't think he and his family were comfortable. They're more on the west coast side of town, if you will. But there might have been some word that he was frustrated he couldn't get a certain player in because of Wisconsin's rather high academic standards.
Right.
But I think whether it's a Wisconsin person or not, that's not the big deal to Barry Alvarez. It's still a good job. You want somebody who wants to be committed to Wisconsin and the state and be a good recruiter. If you don't get the Urban Meyer type player, get a good player and coach him up. It started that way with Barry Alvarez. He led him to 3 Rose Bowl championships. Brett Bielema was able to, after having the mantle passed to him, have the same kind of success. And Gary did pretty well in his couple of years there. And so I think it's a great job, and somebody will come in, and I think Barry will get it right. And some people, oh, his shadow is too big, and there's the statue of Alvarez on campus. You know what? You use that to your advantage, just like, say, Tom Crean did when he was the Marquette basketball coach with the late, great Al McGuire.
Oh, yes.
You've got a wonderful
mm-hmm.
resource. Don't be afraid of it. Go after it. But most important, be a Badger. Want to be with the Badgers in the state of Wisconsin, University of Football, hopefully for the long haul.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and Tommy, we will talk to you in 2015, okay?
A blessed one to you and yours. Hopefully the Pack and the Super Bowl in Arizona. Aaron Rodgers, MVP, baby.
Okay, very good.
Take care, friend.
You bet. Thanks. Much more straight ahead tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. Okay, yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And so much of our show over the past few weeks, it is focused on college football. But right now, we're going to change things up a bit. We're going to talk some college basketball, specifically in the Big 12 Conference. Tonight, we will shine the spotlight on the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Last season, would Tubby Smith's debut at Texas Tech. This year, I would say it also has a start-over kind of a feel to it, as the Red Raiders, they lost 4 seniors and 2 transferred. But regardless, Texas Tech, they are off to a terrific start. They are 6-1, and it's a 6-1 start for just the 17th time in program history. Always an honor to have back with us on our show, and that is Texas Tech head coach Tubby Smith. He is joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. Real people, real value, real simple, and by SCORE Athletes Network. There is no off-season at SCORE at score.com. Good evening, Tubby. It's nice to have you with us on this Friday night.
Good to be with you.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Well, before we get the pulse on your Red Raiders, I must share with our audience that you gave us a bit of a fright in the preseason. You rode into the arena on a motorcycle, and you crashed on the court, a little Evel Knievel. Tubby, what in the world were you thinking?
That wasn't me. That was a double. That was a sit-in or a stand-in for me. Okay, let's correct that. No.
Was that your evil
twin?
You
have these stunts that people come in, and that was all part of the act. You didn't realize that?
Oh, my gosh. No, I did not, and I understand that.
Well, you know, when I went down, see, but I missed my line when I jumped up. I was supposed to holler, Wreck'em Tech. I did, but...
There was a tweet that went out that the first thing that you said in your reaction in that spill was you were worried that you scratched the court. Is that true?
Yes, and I did. It wasn't good. You know, I've ridden on motorcycles before. And I tell you what, and my wife Donna said, don't be out there trying to show off and try to speed up. And just as I hit the brake too hard, and it was a big holly, and I just kind of turned over. I was dressed as John Shaft. I was supposed to be, and that leather coat.
I saw that.
All the way down to my ankles, and it got, you know, I couldn't get my leg across the bike. Those types of things to kind of It was just a heavy bike, and I couldn't hold it up, to be honest with you.
Oh, Tubby. Well, it certainly was a memorable midnight, Matt. There's no doubt about that. So let's move ahead here quickly. As I mentioned at the Open, okay, so Texas Tech, they are continuing this rebuilding phase. And this year, the Red Raiders have seven newcomers, which include, what, five true freshmen. Tell me, Coach, you know, what are your expectations for this season?
Well, we've gotten off to a good start, but we put together a schedule that gave us this opportunity to really play against competition that will help us play our young guys and help them grow up. And I think I've been very impressed with Norris Odiasi and, you know, Justin Gray, Zach Smith, three freshmen that are starting for us. They're really doing a fantastic job. But we're sort of ahead of schedule as far as our freshman development, but I'm still really concerned because we're going to play this league is awfully tough. Whenever you get into the Big 12 or any major conference games, it's going to be tough. So we know we have to improve on some areas, but I like the direction we're heading.
Tubby, you know, with a bevy of newcomers, what is the biggest challenge for you as a head coach to get this team to blend and to bond? As we're talking about seven newcomers, I mean, that's quite a bit.
Well, it's the good thing about it is it's really probably it's never easy, but these guys are so coachable and so willing to listen. It's unlike taking over a program where earlier last year where I was their fourth coach in 4 years, and so these guys were looking around saying, "Is this guy really? Can he really help us? Is he really going to turn the program around?" Not only were the players in the program set, but they were a little bit disillusioned. You know, you come to college, all of a sudden you come in, a certain coach recruits you, and they're no longer there. There's all kinds of issues in the program. So people are just insecure, players, and so are the fan base. You know, is Coach Smith going to be able to do what we hope he can do, and that's to bring some excitement, you know, inject some enthusiasm. And so we've done it before in programs, and we know what it takes, reaching out to the community and really selling your style, and most of all, find a way to win. And last year, I think we captivated our fan base with how hard we played. You know, we were in just about every game, especially at home, a couple close losses. So that excitement has carried over into this season.
We are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We are zeroing in on the Big 12 Conference, specifically the Texas Tech Red Raiders with their head coach, Tubby Smith. And you were talking about the turnover that has transpired over the past few years with your program. What is the key, Tubby, to building continuity and consistency within a program and having that base?
Well, I think, as I said before, you have to have a system and a philosophy that you know, that you can share and you can promote, you know, administration can promote an image. And that's, you know, if I learned anything in this business, perception, you know, people. And so you have to have good kids. You have to represent your program the right way. So mm-hmm. when they go out in the community, people are going to be pleased with how they conduct themselves. And so they go on to support them. You know, fans, we've got a captive audience here in Lubbock, you know, called the Hub City. We're here, and we have 35,000 students, and we have about 245,000 people in this region. So let's face it, it's Texas Tech University, and it's there's nothing else really out here to support. It's not like you're in Dallas or in Minneapolis where there's pro teams and that type. So, but if you can get people to do that, and you have a philosophy that your fans, your players, your administration, and your coaching staff are comfortable with teaching and those things. Again, then you have to schedule. You have to schedule things the right way so you can build a winning atmosphere and a winning program. So then you don't want to. And Frank McGuire told me, "So you don't want to win too many too soon, Tubby." And so last year, that's what we did. We didn't win enough. You know, uh-huh. We could have very easily won 18 games and won 18-14, so I think all that helps.
You know, Tubby, you were saying that you're a bit ahead of schedule right now, but being 6-1, what are you most satisfied with on how the season has gone so far?
As I mentioned before, I mentioned three freshmen, and the seven newcomers have been a real you know, they've been, I can't commend my staff, coaching staff, enough for the great job they did in identifying these young men. You know, Alvin Poole Williamson, who played for me at Tulsa, was on a couple of those great teams.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those, he understands what we're looking for, and he did a fantastic job. And Joe Esposito has been with me for 7 years. You know, Vince Taylor, my staff have done a, Saul Smith, they've done a great job in telling parents, coaches, when we go to these high schools or junior colleges, I think we have a pretty good reputation that we're going to graduate our players. They're going to get better. They're going to play in a good program. And they're going to, and those types of things help sell and help us recruit. So it's all about recruiting. And that's the most important thing, is that these young players that we have brought in, and not, that's not to take anything away from our veteran players. Certainly Clark Lambert, Luke Adams, Alex Foster, you know, these guys have stepped up. Aaron Ross, you know, they've done a fantastic job of have really stepping up and helping us bridge this gap. You know, Todrick Gocher had an outstanding game last night. So those things are helping.
Tubby Smith is one of the true legends in college basketball. 22 years as a head coach with experience, of course, won a national championship with Kentucky in the 97-98 season. 4 Elite Eight appearances, of course, is the head coach at Texas Tech. It's such a pleasure to have Tubby Smith along with us. And when we break down the Big 12 conference, there is so much depth. And I have to ask you, in terms of the personality, the disposition with your team, I mean, when the chips are down, is this a team that collectively can come together?
I think so. We've done it a couple of times already this year. You know, in the Air Force game, we were down 19 points in the second half, and had to come back and were able to pull it out at the end. Auburn took the lead against us. We were able to get to pull it back and get that win. And I hate to, you know, last year we would have, you know, we lost those close games. We lost 4 games where we had the lead in the last few seconds or just needed a stop to win the game, and but that's what character, and that's how you build winners. You know, you've got to go through these experiences, whether they're wins or losses, and learn from them. And this group, I think, has shown a lot of heart and shown a lot of determination, and that they can, you know, they can sustain it. They can handle the pressure of being ahead or behind. Big 12 is one that we have to. We know that the competition is going to get a lot stiffer once we kick off the season in January.
Okay, so heading into this season, you lost, 4 of your top 5 scorers. Who has emerged in terms of with the offensive production? Who is that go-to guy?
Well, you know, Devontae Williams, who's a junior college transfer, is leading us in scoring, and he's really stepping up. He's leading the Big 12 in three-point shooting over 60%. Yeah, Norris Odiasse and Zach Smith are both our leading rebounders, and they're freshmen starting in the front court. You don't see that very often. 2 freshmen, 1 starting at center, 1 starting the power forward spot.
Right.
So that's a big. And then the leadership that Rob Turner has shown is, you know, because he is as tough as any player I think I've coached. He's just a hard-nosed, tough kid. He's not shooting it well right now, but he's getting better.
Hey, Tubby Smith has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're getting ready to wrap up our interview. Just quickly, give us a hit. We were talking about the depth within the Big 12 conference play. How has your non-conference schedule prepared you for Big 12 conference play? Because you did face a team out of the SEC in LSU, and you almost won.
Yes. Well, we had the game won. It was a great, and they went out and beat West Virginia. So we have something to measure ourselves by.
Okay.
They went into LSU went into Morganton and beat West Virginia, and we were up 4 with 35 seconds to go in the game, turned it over twice, and finally ended up losing in overtime. But that's those things happen. We think that we've got a team that can compete with anybody, you know, most teams in the country. But we've got to start finding a way to beat other teams from major conferences.
The great Tubby Smith has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Good luck the remainder of the way and in Big 12 conference play. And Tubby, we look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Lisa.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. And as we get set for our final segment tonight, hey, we love hearing from all of you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. You can always go back to our podcast page. All of our great hosts here at our network. Check out all of our work at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. And one of our favorite members of our team, of course, is Andy Pondillo, our producer. And we have had him back 2 weeks in a row because there has been so much movement that has been taking place. It has been a very busy offseason, even during these winter meetings. Good evening, Andy. It's nice to have you with us.
Definitely. It's hard to even comprehend right now what's quite going on in Major League Baseball. There's been a few winter meetings that have come years past. There's been some big names that have been dropped, but we haven't seen anything to this magnitude in a very long time with the trades, with the signings. It's literally something every single hour, something big is going down in Major League Baseball.
It has been crazy. It's been very fascinating to watch. We're going to head out to the NL West here in just a moment, but I got to ask you, right here in our backyard, I mean, I was reading in the Houston Chronicle, Jeff Luhnow, so he received an extension. I mean, who knew? That obviously was at the top of their list with the Astros organization. They wanted to lock him up.
Well, Luhnow's been adamant about that plan. Jim Crane brought Luhnow in. Luhnow is his guy, and they've shown that by standing by Luhnow's side after the Bo Porter firing and believing in his long-term plan. There's a lot of skeptics out there about Luhnow's plan. It's very interesting. It's very different, but I think Jim Crane's bought in, and if there's one thing you can say about Luhnow, whether you like him or not, he does not bend from his plan. He stays the course, and they're going to stay the course a little longer as they try to move into contention.
Did you see marked improvement this year because they had, what, 70 wins?
I saw a lot of marked improvement. The Astros are a very top-heavy team. Their offense was a lot better than a lot of people gave them credit for. Their starting pitching was a lot better than people gave them credit for. They had the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball, and when one of your three components of your team is the worst in baseball, it is hard to be a successful team. So if they shore up the bullpen, you know, they're not, I wouldn't say they're a good team, but they're definitely not a bad team if they fix that element.
Well, perhaps they are trending in the right direction. So let's head out to the NL West. Talk to me about the Dodgers' Matt Kemp trade. That was huge.
That's a huge trade. What the Dodgers are doing now under Andrew Friedman is very interesting. It's very unique. It's a very quick restructuring. It's odd that they trade all these guys. Basically, with Matt Kemp, you trade him, get prospects. They load up from the prospects from the Padres. Padres do have a deep farm system, and I think the Dodgers have identified that just signing free agents isn't going to work for their long-time plan. Plus, it costs a lot of dang money. The Dodgers basically have become the National League's version of the New York Yankees, and it hasn't got them very far in postseason play. So, a new thought process. But when they get rid of these guys, they let Hanley Ramirez walk, they traded Matt Kemp, they traded D. Gordon, but when they get rid of someone, they reload immediately, and they did that by making a trade for Jimmy Rollins and then making a trade for Howie Kendrick to fix that middle of the infield. The offense, probably not quite as good as it was last year, but I will say that having a guy like Kendrick very consistent and Rollins when healthy, they can have the same type of RBI production that they had from their middle infielders before. Maybe even a few more ribbies, but that loss of speed, that loss of a true leadoff man in D. Gordon, you'd have to imagine will hurt the lineup.
You are absolutely right. Andy Pondillo with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Quickly, Andy, tell all of our listeners across the country where they can check out some of your work.
They can check me out on climbingtowelshill.com. Podcast host Astro Chat will be putting a new one up this week.
Okay, so as we focus in on the restructuring of the Dodgers, they're blowing this team up. Why is it not working? I mean, you were talking about this. How many times did we talk about D. Gordon on the show? I mean, and Matt Kemp.
Well, those types of guys are the igniters of the offense. D. Gordon, the guy that gets on the top of the order, that steals bases. You can hit and run with him. He can bunt. He can do a lot of things at the top of the order that a lot of players just can't do. The forgotten part of the game, if you will. A lot of these hitters that bunt are good hit and run guys. A lot of times they're like that because they're not good hitters. D. Gordon brought that element with the speed. So it's kind of a head scratcher why you'd want to get rid of a guy like that, but there's also a belief in baseball about trading high. Maybe they thought D. Gordon wouldn't be that good again and they got max value. I haven't been able to sit down and look at the exact prospects the Dodgers received in these deals. There's been so much going on, but I can't wait to review them and see who really won on this deal. I'd have to imagine they got a pretty good package, and for Matt Kemp, delving into that Padres farm system was something they wanted to do to try and reload their own farm system. to give the Dodgers a brighter future after some of these guys' legs start to get a little old. And Matt Kemp's another situation where we tried to trade him high. He had a pretty solid season last year after the Dodgers basically tried to trade him all offseason prior, through the whole season they're trying to unload him, and they're finally able to make their wishes true. There's been reports that he's had some problems in the clubhouse. They have too many outfielders, so they finally fixed that problem. They pay $32 million themselves out of the $107 million left on Kemp's contract. So the Padres get a real bargain in terms of production for their bang for their buck of what they're going to actually pay Kemp. It just depends. Will he stay healthy or not will be the big question.
It is our MLB news and notes this evening at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We specifically wanted Andy Pondillo to come back because so much movement is taking place in the offseason. Okay, so let's head up to those Cubbies. John Lester, I mean, are the Cubs now going to be on the verge of contending with him on board?
I think the Cubs are getting very close. I don't know if they win a wild card this year, but let's just look at the wild cards we've seen the past few years. If you're at about 85, 86 wins, you're in contention, and that's not that far above 500. Mm-hmm. So the Cubs actually, I think, can hang around in moderate contention this season. I think they end up anywhere from 78 to 82 wins based on what I'm looking at right now. But for the future, this team has a very bright future under Theo Epstein. He has a plan, much like Luno over at the Astros. He's sticking to his plan, and one thing the Cubs have done when they built their minor league system is they valued offense above pitching, and not a lot of teams do that, but they see the shortage of offense. They load up on middle infielders. They load up on guys that can swing the bat. They're all going to start to hit the big leagues. Their big question mark was filling the top of their rotation. They do have some rotation depth, but they didn't have a true ace. They didn't really probably even have a true number two as of yet. So John Lester becomes that true ace. The young pitchers can factor in, and then Jason Hamill comes back to the Cubs to give them a solid mid-rotation guy. I like the foundation for the Cubs. Mm-hmm. I say not this year, but a very bright future for that organization.
What I hear you saying, too, is you've got a lot of confidence in the direction they're headed, right?
A lot of confidence. Theo Epstein, there are critics on his plan. Anytime you rebuild, there's going to be critics everywhere because everybody wants to win now, and it's hard to win now in baseball. It's not the NFL where you can go 2-14 one year and then go 11-5 the next. It's usually more of a gradual process unless you just have so much money and so many resources to burn to play for one season. When you play for one season, however, that involves locking guys up into long-term contracts, and a lot of times that debits your future. If you want to have a strong future, you have to do it through the farm system. You have to do it through savvy trades. I think the Cubs are off to a good start. You know, the plan always looks good on paper. There's never a guarantee that it will work. Some of these players could be busts, but I like the direction they're in.
Okay, Andy Pondillo has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. A very special thank you to all of our guests in our lineup tonight right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Tubby Smith, Texas Tech head men's basketball coach. Roland Lazenby, the author and senior editor with Lindy Sports Pro Basketball Magazine, Paul Gutierrez from ESPN, Buddy Martin, Tom Pippins, and our very own Jason Peter. A reminder, the holidays are here. Don't you dare drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop back supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, like, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.